Hello and welcome to Bringing Education Home. I'm Herb.
And I'm Christina. And together we're bringing ideas for families to be happy, happy, healthy, and successful that are both inside
and outside the box. If you like the show, be sure to follow Christina on Facebook.
And please leave us a like or review on your favorite podcast platform.
Today, I have the pleasure of introducing Timothy Stutz. Timothy is a certified self-esteem coach for children and children's educator that has developed programs for the state of California, several California counties, and private foundations. He's also an ordained minister and a retired certified public accountant. For the past 42 years, Timothy has been using fairy tales, ancient arts, sacred sciences, and everything in between to empower people of all ages to develop and use their infinite soul power to achieve their full potentials. That is a beautiful bio. I am really looking forward to having this conversation. Thank you for joining us today, Timothy.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure to be here. It's wonderful to be with you and all the listeners.
I am so glad you came, because whenever we did our pre-call, it was really amazing how we connected over story. And myself, being a teacher of 27 years, I told you that, you know, one of the best parts of my day every single day was when we got to put everything down. I just got to read to the kids and I got to hear them react to the story or react to the voices I was using and things like that. And that really resonated between us. So thank you for joining us. And give us a little bit of background on your passion. We know what you do and how you did it, but how did you jump into this whole story thing?
I jumped into the story thing by following my heart and opening a chocolate shop. I went from being a certified public accountant and consultant to mortgage bankers and auditors and attorneys to waking up one morning and basically before I even woke up, the words out of my mouth as I was coming to consciousness was, if Hershey's can make chocolate kisses, I can make chocolate French kisses. And so that set me out on a path of designing a pair of lips with a tongue curled out and a beautiful box and finding somebody to make this for me. That was my idea. And then the people that were going to make the chocolate saw that this could really take off. So they tripled the price on me. And I ended up having to open up a chocolate shop and learn how to dip chocolate and temper chocolate and everything. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And in that chocolate shop, I had a box delivered to me by UPS one day that I did not order. The delivery man would not take it back because my address was on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened up the box and there were 50 little teddy bear eyes staring up at me. And having a background as a CPA and loving Hardy Boy books as a child,
mm-hmm.
I needed to investigate how I got those boxes.
Right.
And they were smuggled into the country and blah, blah, blah. But the people who owned the boxes actually gave them all to me eventually, all the little teddy bears. And I carried one in my car. It rode shotgun with me. And after about 2 weeks, believe me, this was not me at the time, okay? I don't know why I picked up this bear, but I picked up the bear one day and said, "Who are you?" And surprisingly to me, I heard back, "Poet Bear." And that resonated with me because I wrote love poetry. I wrote poetry about societal things and things like that. So I decided to package the little bear with a book of my poetry. And I got it all together, put it on the candy shop to sell. And my mom took one look at it and she said, "You blew it. That should have been a children's story." And this was like 2 years before any of the large companies started packaging books for kids along with stuffed animals. So I was way ahead of my time on that. And my mom, she knew me really well. I mean, she knew parts of me that I had no idea of. And I looked at her and said, "Read my poetry, Mom. There's nothing for kids, nothing about kids. That's not on my radar."
Yeah.
And 6 months later, the first story literally popped into my head complete, along with characters. And Poet Bear turned into Blissberry Bear from the Great Bear Constellation, who comes to Earth in a blue pearl starship to help children figure out things from a different perspective when they're having problems with anything in life.
I love it. We need more bliss bears in the world. Let's figure out things from different perspectives and help families and children, figure things out. That's awesome. I love
So
that.
really what I heard in there was Willy Wonka. You became Willy Wonka, stories. And one of the things that I really, really appreciated in what I heard was that you got these inspirations, these voices out of the silence of your heart, and you followed those. There are so many people that hear those and use self-doubt and whatever to just walk away from that. But you heard those and you acted on that. So that part of the story is so amazing to me that you were able to be that present to both hear those and to follow those. So well done in just that. That's fabulous. So
Thank you. And I didn't even know I was doing that. I was literally just doing what I was called to do. And, I tell people now about following your heart. It doesn't mean that you're going to get a direct route to what you hear, but your heart does know how to help you make a decision in the moment. And then if you follow that decision, it will lead you to the optimum outcome, even though along the way it might not look like it. Because not only did I never intend to write one children's story, but to now write over 160, it's like, oh my God. And that's just a blessing and not something I even try to do. It's like getting the message to make chocolate French kisses. All of a sudden I hear a story, I hear a title, and then voila, another
and then
story.
there's just a whole book that's just downloaded right there, and then you take the inspiration and then you actually focus on it and do it. So again, that's amazing. So I've had a couple of those, and one of my first ones was, oh, I'm not worthy, and I kind of tried to turn my back on it, and the powers that be, basically, it's like, no, you really need to be doing this. And I wasn't listening. So they started beating me over the head. They actually took Mount Hood. They took Mount Hood in Oregon, and God picked up Mount Hood and smacked me over the head with it and said, stop, you need to be doing something different. And so, it was a little more of a route for me, because I was choosing not to listen. And so the inspiration came to me from a much more violent route.
Well, one of my constant prayers is let me learn the soft way, like being hit with a feather instead of a 2x4, let alone a mountain.
Right?
I like that. We're gonna have to start adding that in, sweetie.
Yeah,
No, no mountain.
I actually made the mistake one time of telling somebody I worked with, is like, I don't do subtle. If you want something, write it on a 2x4 and smack me with it, because if you're hinting, I'm not going to get it. And so I guess God took me literally, because he wrote it on Mount Hood Meadows and then picked it up and smacked me over the head with it one day when I was snowboarding.
Oh, that
Tell
sounds
us a
awesome.
little bit, tell us a little bit about the themes or the base of the stories that you've written. You said you're 166 now, which is amazing. Tell us a little bit about those stories.
They cover absolutely everything. It's like if you, God, what was that? What was the show with David Carradine where he Kung Fu something, or even more recent, the show with Miyagi and
The Karate Kid.
the Karate Kid. So it's like the Karate Kid got a lesson just by following the master's instructions. And sometimes that had nothing to do with karate.
Correct. Wax on, wax off. He was waxing cars and learning the
Exactly.
motions. Yes.
So embedded within all of my stories is the wisdom of the ages, because I've been practicing Qigong and meditation and Tai Chi and Reiki and helping people through various challenges in life for 40 some years. So all of that is within me and gets weaved within the stories. So they cover everything. I don't think there's a topic with that hasn't been covered yet overall. But they weave fantasy and reality, myth and mystery, poetry, and the proven principles of child development into stories that still amaze me. I mean, I I consider myself the pass through on these.
Right.
Because if I go back and read the stories that I wrote when I started 40 some years ago, they're as amazing to me as the ones that I write now. And sometimes I even went, before I moved to Spain, I was cleaning out files on my computer and everything. And I found an outline for a story, actually a start of a story. And at that same time in my life, I was working with somebody and we were developing a program for teenagers. And as I was reading the story, I didn't recognize it as mine. So I called up my friend Rebecca and said, "Is this yours? Did you write this?" She said, "No, you did." But it's like, I don't even recognize my own writing sometimes.
Wow.
So it also, your bio also says that you're an ordained minister. And so combining that with Tai Chi, Qigong, meditation, that little juxtaposition seems a little awkward for some people. To me, it makes perfect sense. But there are a lot of people, religious people, who don't go that route. So could you kind of also talk about how that all weaves together? And then in the stories, I'm gonna go like Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, because he was also an ordained minister and he made a world of changes through stories and make believe. And so all of that combined, so Willy Wonka, Mr. Rogers, and then the Kung Fu and Mr. Miyagi. It's like, that is such an interesting pie that has been brought together. How did that all come about?
It was much like writing the stories. I never intended to get into meditation. That wasn't something that I even knew about. And I had a series of challenges in my early 30s where it literally just sent me to bed crying for 3 days. I didn't get out of bed. I just laid there and cried. And it was my whole life had fallen apart. And at the end, after 3 days, I just yelled out to God. And I said, "I've prayed, now I lay me down to sleep ever since my mother taught me that prayer. And if you exist, I need to find you." And shortly after that, I got the inspiration to get out of bed and stood in front of the mirror. And I actually felt Christ behind me and heard, "I'll remake you in my image." And it started from that. And I remembered something the president of the mortgage banking company I audited in Hawaii said the year before when I left. She said, "If you ever need a couch to crash on, call me." And I needed a couch to crash on to get my head together, and called her up and she said, "Well, I've moved. You can now have your own room. I've got a house." So I headed to Hawaii and she gave me a book when I arrived and said, "Read this tomorrow while I'm at work." And it was Dick Sutphin's Past Lives, Future Loves. I had no idea what I was reading. I just know I started crying, and it was like things my daughter had tried to tell me or show me in different ways suddenly fit together. It's like when she was born, when they separated her from her mom, she's laying on this table over there, and all of a sudden this orangish red golden glow just started to emit from every pore of her body and rise up through the ceiling. And I'm sitting there saying, "Wow, something more profound than the birth of my daughter's taking place." Had no idea what I was saying, had no idea what I was watching. And when she was about 1 and a half, she poked her finger in my back one day. And I'd been hurting in my back for weeks.
Yeah.
The pain went away. It's like, what did this kid do? How did she do that? And when she was about 2, we were driving somewhere. She's in the back seat and she started to explain and describe where we were going. And I'm driving. It's like, no, you can't be saying that because you've never been there.
Right.
And then I started running through my memory banks to try to figure out when she might have been there, and it was in the womb. So that started me really questioning you know, when are we conscious? When are we aware of our surroundings? What is this all about? And things anthropology instructors had said to me, and things just started to fit together. And that's what started me searching. And then I had a couple of crazy experiences in dreams after taking a Valium for a minor operation. And watching my driving a car, watching it crash, going around a mountain curve, saying I can't control it anymore, to the passenger next to me. Next thing I know, my eyes are wide open, looking up at the ceiling like a movie's playing, and I'm watching them carry our bodies away.
Whoa.
And the next night, I'd never had anything like that before. Next night, I go to sleep, and again, shortly after I fall asleep, I wake up from a dream, and out of the wall across from me is coming this bearded man with an orange stocking cap and like orange whatever he had, I just saw from the shoulders up. And it's like, wow, I'm a CPA. I'm not taking any more pain medication because I don't know what's going on here. And then one thing led to another. I found a meditation path. And from meditation, I found Reiki again, because I found Reiki because my body was really falling apart and really dying based upon some subconscious programs I put in as a child, where when things didn't go right, I said, I want to die. Mm-hmm. So our body pays attention to our subconscious. And if you say that a lot, your body reacts. And there's a lot of things in my life that didn't go right. So every time that happened, little did I know that my subconscious is saying, I want to die. And my body's slowly obeying.
Yeah.
So once I found that out and shifted that thought form, my body got better.
Well, I'm going to say that concludes the out of the box portion of this. And now let's go back into the box. So now you take all of this information, all of these amazing experiences, and now you start writing books for kids to start putting some of this knowledge, some of this, these learnings into stories that kids can get a hold of. So how did, again, you kind of started talking about the lips, but let's start now talking about some of your books.
So do you have one particular book that you like to talk about as an example of some of the themes and stuff that you...
That's like I said, you know, it's like they're all my favorites.
Right.
You know, for instance, the last... Well, I've written a lot of stories lately. But my first yoga teacher, just not too long ago, sends me the first paragraph of a story mm-hmm. that she started. And she wrote a children's book right before I did, her first one.
Yeah.
And so anyway, she's 80 something now. So she just sends me a couple of sentences and said, okay, your turn. and it was really cool. And it was about a drop of water that had come out of the ocean and was afraid it was going to dry up, and it sees a crab and it yells out to the crab for help.
Uh-huh.
And I just took that idea and ran with the story. And I had so much fun, I had to stop myself and give it back to her and say, okay, now it's your turn. And she said, God, you're just having so much fun. Why don't you finish it off? So I did, uh-huh. gave it back to her and said, I need a few helps here and there. And what do you think we should put in?
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about, again, that little drop of water realizing it was really the whole ocean, that it had the same consciousness as the whole ocean. And I hadn't written a story about a frog, and so I wanted to write a story about a frog, and I weave in facts about the animals too. So I weave in whatever I'm writing about, I weave in facts.
Yes.
So if I'm writing about circles, I research circles and how do we get into circles and what things are made in circle forms and why did the Indians make teepees in circle forms? Right. And
we lost Timothy. Hopefully he will be right back.
Oh, he's coming back. Oh, there he is.
You're back.
Was that you guys or me?
No, you blipped off of our screen, but that's okay. We're back and we'll just keep moving.
Okay,
Exactly.
so it blipped out completely. Maybe it was the frog jumping out of the water.
Exactly. The frog was making the big old splash in the water. Exactly.
But
Well,
no, so it,
I
yeah,
absolutely
so it's
love this. This is just amazing because you're weaving in all this kind of stuff that we want children to know. We want kids to understand their whole being as well. Just like you were saying, you went on this journey and you found basically your inner self and your whole being and how to express that. And, vibrant family education is all about that. How can we help our children understand they are the whole drop? They are the whole ocean. They are everything that they need to be. And just how do they express it, right? Or how do they learn through the different things?
Yeah, I'm actually want to start reading your books. They sound fascinating and just a fun way to get into some of this information that really has been kept from us for so many years, or pushed away. So it's just absolutely fascinating.
And I love that the parents who read these with their children will be able to have wonderful discussions about all the different themes and stuff that you're weaving through, because that's what we need to have with our children, is to have a discussion with them based off of something that they can understand. So they hear a story, they understand the story, and then where does that lead them? Like I said, one of the favorite part of my classroom time was reading stories and then having the kids talk about it very, very much. In our
In fact,
pre, yeah, go ahead.
and maybe you're going to say it, I don't know, but I purposely don't have illustrations inside 90% of my books for the purpose of what you just said. It allows conversations between the reader and the listener, and for children, developing internal images is the greatest power and the greatest internal system and wiring we have to be creative, imaginative, and to use that throughout life. And if that doesn't get stimulated somehow in the child, then everything goes haywire. Einstein knew what he said when he told a mom that there's a story. In fact, I actually met a lady who was in this classroom with Einstein at the time. And a mom asked how her. She wanted her son to be a scientist, and he was 12 at the time. So she said, tell me what I can do to make my child smart and super smart. And Einstein said, if you want your child to be brilliant, tell him fairy tales. If you want him to be more brilliant, tell him more fairy tales. And it's because within fairy tales, the imagination can just run wild, and you can put in things like fables, you put in virtues. You build things within the stories that the children will resonate to. And it's much different when a child hears a lesson from a story with a character they relate to than if mom or dad is sitting there saying something, because that doesn't go in. But if it's in a story, the child can relate to it. So I don't have pictures inside the books. I have a beautiful cover, but I want the children to imagine what they're seeing. And then even put it down on paper. Draw your own pictures in the books. Talk to whoever's reading it. And since we all have different impressions from different words, that's a way that children can learn that, oh, well, mom and dad saw this when they were reading it, but I saw that, but it's okay. We're different. And
My mom used to read books to us when we were kids, and some of them were like more like chapter books, and it would take her weeks to read through it. And so we would be like, there was a story of the ghost that, and I remember these vivid pictures of how everything was happening. And I became an avid reader, and I read not fairy tales, but fiction. Or a lot of science fiction, which is also a way fairy tales. And when I had kids of my own in later in my late 20s and 30s, I realized that so many of my belief structures, so many of the ideas that I was using to structure and how I moved through the world was based on those science fiction novels, because there's so much truth in fiction. And it's a different kind of an inner truth And it's so fascinating to hear you bring that out like that. Is like, if you want your kids to be smart, read fairy tales. That resonated with me because I ever since I was a little kid, man, I was an avid reader and putting pictures of my own in there. And sometimes I remember we would get to picture books or read-alongs with lots of pictures, and for some reason it was like this isn't as good. Because these pictures are like too easy, and it's not, so it's not what my pictures were.
Yeah, the lady that drew the first representation of Poet Bear for me, she had a little boy, and he was like 5 years old at the time. And they read books like you just shared her, okay, chapter books, no pictures in them. And I'd never seen such a thing before. I had no idea. And I really realized children don't need pictures to look at. I didn't know about the Einstein quote at the time or anything. I just realized by watching her interaction and how much he loved listening to those stories that the children didn't need pictures.
Yeah, and I love that. So, well, actually, one of the questions I was going to ask you, and you did answer it, but I'm just going to repeat some of our listeners really, focus in on this, is I was going to say, how do you get, what kinds of things can the parents say or do to help them get the children to interact? And you said it, have them draw the pictures that are popping up in their heads, have them talk about and describe it. And best of all, have the parent and the child both draw their own pictures and then share the similarities and differences of what they both saw and know that both are correct because there is no picture in the book. So I love that you brought that out. And like I said, I just wanted to reiterate that for those parents who are like, well, how do you do this? All right.
And
Excellent.
I put questions at the end of each of my books too that stimulate questions,
Excellent.
stimulate answers, stimulate things,
Yeah.
what do you remember from the story? And then just general things, what is that bringing up inside of you? Also, I have a book club where the children listen to a live story time every month with me and then submit their own pictures to me. And then we create an illustrated book based upon the children's pictures, all the different children that submit them. And they can use any medium they want to do those pictures.
That is amazing. And for the families that we talk with that are homeschool families, I would absolutely encourage them to go and do that book club for a while and just explore and see what your children are going to come up with. And for those who are trying to augment their public education, do the same thing. Go on the weekends, listen to one of these, explore this so that your child has a different way of learning and experiencing books than just what's happening in the school. So thank you for having that. And I know that we're going to share all of that information in the show notes, right? And in just a minute, we'll have the audience hear you talk about how to get a hold of you. But as we're kind of looking at this and thinking about this, the power of story is so amazing. Everything that you've said today, everything that you've shared about how children can really get into the books, and it begins when they're young. I really encourage parents to read to their children even when they're young. Matter of fact, I just had a parent the other day. She's like, I'm trying to read with my child at night, but they are refusing to read because it's hard for them. I said, well, stop it. And they're like, what? Stop it? Why? It's like, because your child needs to listen to you instead. Just let them enjoy the story for a while. And then once their skills come up, then they're going to want to read with you and fill in words and things like that. But just stop for a while. Just read to them and let them enjoy the beauty of the story.
I don't remember learning how to read. I remember watching my mom read, and I would look at the words on the page and try and figure out where she was. And then when she would stop reading, because it's like, oh, I'm tired. Oh, it's not. I would try and pick up and figure out where. So I think somehow that I taught myself to read. I don't know for sure, but just because she would stop when she got tired, and I wouldn't want to stop. And so that pulled reading into me because it's like it didn't end and there was more and I wanted more. And so that pulled the reading out of me. And one of the things I wish I'd had as a kid was that drawing that you talked about, because I'm not an artist. I never developed that. And had I, as a kid, is like, oh, well, you draw this picture, I probably would have got into that just as much. So that would have been a way to start pulling your children into art as well, which is something that I kind of miss. Mine is very more of abstract and very symmetrical kind of stuff. When I get into art, I don't do imaginative pictures. So that alone is like, sounds like absolute gold to me. So,
yeah. You've said so much there, Herb, and the two of you, and what you just shared, man, you can start reading to your child in the fifth month in the womb is when the child starts to relate to the outer world, and they're actually hearing sounds. They're relating to the vibrations. So yeah. You reading your mom's loving voice is the best thing that that child could ever hear. Music. I mean, if you want your child to be a rock and roll artist, play
good
rock
at math.
Music,
you know,
while
listening
they're
to music
in
the womb makes them better at math.
Exactly. It's just amazing the vibrations that we create, and carrying those vibrations and parents learning to talk with their children in a loving voice, and because everything carries a vibration. I had a mom one time call me up, and she found me from somebody and said her child was going to have a chest surgery because he had an indentation in his chest and he had asthma real bad. And asked if I'd come over and do some energetic work. And just in talking to this little 9-year-old boy, I discovered that the indentation in his chest happened after his father said something to him.
Wow.
So it was like what his father said hit as hard as a fist right in the chest, left a mark, left an indentation that was going to require surgery, stopped his breathing properly. And once the child shared that, it took one energetic treatment, no surgery, okay, asthma gone.
Wow.
And it vibrations and how we treat each other are just so, so powerful. And so, yeah, starting from in the womb, you can start reading loving stories. And, you know, having a child is an education for a parent, because we have to educate ourselves on anything that wasn't educated properly as our child. So
yeah,
it's right. Like, so our wounded inner child isn't trying to parent our outer child and messing things up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as Herb said, I think children, I was the same way. Mm-hmm. I wanted to learn how to read because I saw my mom reading to me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
she started just pushing her finger along the page. Mm-hmm. And I started following that way. And I remember one time when my daughter was really young, we were at a meditation ashram and I had to go in and help in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So she came in with me, and my idea was she would stand next to me and watch what I'm doing. And no, she put herself at a, she took herself to a place in the kitchen where she could watch everything going on. She
yep.
sat there for like 5 minutes, watched it all, and then flowed into helping with whatever was needed to be done. But
you know,
that's what we have in us, within us as children, when it's allowed to come forth.
Absolutely.
So, there are so many adults who can't do that. I worked at this one place for a long time, and I did that. And there was a young man that worked with me, and he started noticing me, and he said, how do you do that? And I somehow taught him to do that. And
wow. He
started flourishing because he would step back and just watch everything. And it's like, there's a hole. And then he would go fill that in, and it's like, there's a hole. Mm-hmm. And he just started moving within this group and just started being a servant to the group instead of trying to get stuff done. He allowed everybody else to get more done by just filling in these little holes instead of saying, oh, I have to do this. And so your daughter picking that up at like 2 and 3, again, amazing, fascinating. And if that is written into your books, if your books help children even glimpse that, what an amazing, amazing gift that you're giving to these kids and to the parents who also might be able
Read and
to
understand.
start picking up some of these tools. Because, you know, it's never too late to pick up the tool. It's never too late to learn
Nope.
these things. And
And I write that, I write with all of that. I write with the vibrational frequency, and I write for the adult too, because there were stories my daughter wanted me to read over and over that I just did not like reading again and again. So I write for the adult too. And I also subsequently discovered that children who want stories read to them over and over and over again, they're actually entraining the story, and it's developing their nervous system in a specific way. So they actually are benefiting. They know inside that they need to hear that again, and they need to hear it again. And it's wiring things inside of them that they know is needed, that, we don't know. Nobody taught us.
And what a beautiful gift if it's a story that is wholesome and has a good message and helps train them to be, or help them understand how to be a good person in the future.
Or just be human,
Just
because
be human,
most
yeah.
people don't even know what it necessarily means to be human. They think it's, oh, it's job, it's work, it's this, it's
Right.
that. But human is so much
More.
greater, so much more than what we think it is. And even those of us who are already outside of the box, we still have so much more to learn about being human. You're never done. And because this is the greatest gift that we have ever been given, that we will ever be given, is just to be here and be human. And so, yeah, this is such an out of the box episode. I mean, I am just so enjoying.
But I'm loving it because it's in the box, because it's reading and family development, all the wonderful things that we like to talk about on this show. Timothy, you have been a joy to have on. Is there anything else that you wanted to leave with our parents as we wrap up this episode?
Just to learn as much as you can about, there's one book I'd recommend, Magical Parent, Magical Child by Joseph Chilton Pierce. And it really condenses what children at different age levels are capable of learning. Because, you can't reason with a 2-year-old, but most adults don't know that. They don't know that they forget that they can't relate to a 2-year-old the way they relate to their best friend. So just learning what children are capable of learning at each stage can help a parent and guide them in what to do. And the other thing is, again, come back to your heart, take a few breaths, breathe, and ask your heart for guidance and learn how to do that. And on my website, I have several blogs and things. I have on the freebie section, the very first thing is 3 magic wands for happier, healthier. More creative, happier, and empowered children. And one of the things I teach
Love it.
adults how to do in there is to listen to their heart and learn how their heart speaks to them in yeses and nos, so they can ask direct questions, get a direct answer, and know that's their path.
I love it, love it, love
So
it.
real quick, again, in our pre-interview, you mentioned it a little bit here about your story time. And during the pre-interview, Christina, when you started talking about possibly collaborating and doing some story times together. And so I just wanted to rebring that up because that is such a fabulous idea. She is amazing at reading to children, and your books sound like awesome. So I just want to throw that out there, back out to the universe to make this happen.
That
And
is going to happen.
Awesome. Timothy, say out loud. It's all going to be in the show notes, that free gift that you just mentioned and everything else, but say out loud so parents can hear it. Where do they find you? What's the easiest way for them to find the story time and find more about you?
it's www.timothystutz.com, which is down in the picture there below me on the Zoom here.
And it will
And there's a
also be
freebie
in the show
there.
title.
There's a freebie tab that has guided meditations, that training, three magic wands, qigong exercises, fairy tales, songs. There's something there for every member, every age group. And then if they go to the fairy tale tab, they'll see all the information about the fairy tales. And if they go to the children and families tab, they'll see all the courses I have, including a course for teenagers to teach them everything I know about meditation, Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga, working with people so that they can get certified. And by the time they're 18, they'll have a career they can go out into the world with without having to go through a higher education if they don't want to.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so very much for being here, for sharing all of this with our families and our guests. Thank you so very, very much.
And children, believe it or not, love yoga, love these tools.
Yeah, they do.
More so even than some of us old folks, because we haven't been used to it and it's hard for us to get into it. But children take to these things like water, because it is part of being human and it helps them feel human. So be sure to check this out. This has been an absolutely amazing podcast.
Do I have another minute, Herb?
Yes.
I will say the oldest exercise we know was invented by a Chinese doctor who watched animals move, came up with these animal movements, called them the animal frolics. And since, another long story, but I took the animal frolics, I made them into the Power Animal Frolics. I had 7 Disney quality costumes made for an eagle, a bear, a monkey, a gorilla, a dragon. And there's a couple of others, but I do the Qigong exercises, the animal frolics in these costumes, so children of all ages can have fun frolicking along.
I love it. Wow,
sounds
wow,
awesome.
Wow. All right, parents, we have given you a ton of gold nuggets this time. This episode is just so full of things about reading and connecting and then body movement now also. So make sure you go check out Timothy's website. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being with us. Make sure you leave those likes and reviews, because we want more people to find out this wonderful information. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.